Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 36. The message today is a visitation from God late in life. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow even unto 84 years, who departed not from the temple, worshipping with fastings and supplications night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks unto God, and spake of him, the Lord Jesus, to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. The consolation, the redemption, and there were people that were looking for those things. Verse 39. And when they had accomplished all things that were according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, Thou hast given us another year, and the time draws nigh when what excites the world also has its effect upon our hearts. Our God, we think of time when he who was with God and was God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We are thankful. Lord, you've told us so very few things about his life, and you've told us just a few about his birth, but we've read about one of them this morning, and it can be a blessing to our souls. So, by thy Spirit, make this to be what it shall be to our souls. Let us know the food that is in this chapter. Let us know the comfort, the consolation. Let us know the challenge, all that it can be to us, as thy Spirit works upon the hearts of those who are here. So, our God, we pray that thou shalt intervene and work for good, and empower him who speaks as well. We know our sins. We promise that if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. So that is what we do, that we might be clean vessels, fit for the Master's use. So undertake for us this day, we pray. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The reason that we are talking about Anna today stemmed from what I told you about beginning at Thanksgiving. There are just a few people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that have that word to thank God, Thanksgiving, that specific word associated with them. Now, I told you that Thanksgiving can also mean blessing and things of that nature, but there are just a few that we are told who actually gave thanks to God. I mentioned the cleansed leper in Luke 17, and I have purposely told you nothing about Anna because, you see, she fits into the Christmas story, and now this is the second Lord's Day in December. And so this is a message about Anna, the thankful prophetess, who had a visitation from God late in life. Now think. It is estimated that the woman who is described as of a great age was at least 105 years old. Why? Let's say that she was married in her teens, say when she was 15 years old, very young. And then she lived 7 years with her husband. That would make her 22, And then she had been a widow 84 years. You say, why, she's 106 years old. Yes, a woman 106 years old. And where is she when it comes time to worship God? You say, she's in the temple. Would not this woman have every reasonable excuse to absent herself from religious services? You say, well, when a woman is 106 years of age, why, that, this woman was present in the temple of God. And being in the temple of God, that gave me the thought for the message, a visitation from God late in life. Suppose God had one great surprise for you. The greatest thing that God was ever going to privilege you to see or enjoy, when would you want to give it to you? When you were 105 or 6 years old? You say, I think I would want it a little earlier in life so I could enjoy it. Most of us would. But this is the point. Anna's visitation from God was late in life. Others were visited by God early in life. I recall many years ago hearing of a friend that had experienced sorrow in his heart. It was just by accident that I heard of it. It was 50 miles away. And when I heard of it, I got in my car and drove those 50 miles and went to his home. And when I came into his home, he looked at me and he said, well, you finally got here. Now, how do you think I felt? Nobody had told me. I'd driven 50 miles to see him, to give him comfort, to give him strength. And he looks at me and he says, well, you finally got here. Now, think of your life and think of the blessings that God has in store for you and answer me this question. Do you think it's better if God arranges the time to bring the good things into your life, or should it be that you have the right to dictate to God when this good thing and that good thing should come into your life? You say, well, to ask the question is to answer it. I see. But most of our lives are like Mary and Martha when they send a letter to Jesus and our Savior waits 4 days and they say, however you interpret it, Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. As this man said, well, you finally got here. As if there was some negligence on my part, as if there was some lack of compassion on my part. And so think of how I felt. If it were left to the flesh, I would have turned around and walked away and gone home. Well, in like manner, when we criticize God for withholding good for us, or when something good does come into our life, we say, well, you finally brought something good into my life. Think of that. Now here is Anna, who is over 100 years of age, and the thing that God has reserved for her is that of seeing his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she sees him, this is the outburst of her heart. She says, thank God. Now is that your attitude of heart? That you personally felt no desert to receive such a blessing from God, but now that he has in his grace condescended to allow you such a great privilege in life, you say, thanks be to God. That's what she said. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And what is so lovely about this old woman, and if you're over 100, I do not think that there would be any insult in being called an old woman. I told you that when Paul was 60 years old, he described himself as Paul the aged. So that is a compliment in Scripture. So here is this woman that is of that age, and here this old woman, finally, at the end of her life, has the greatest thing that ever entered into her life presented to her by God. Now, I want you to think for a moment and ask yourself this question. Should God arrange His purposes according to you, or arrange you according to His purposes? You say, yes, He should arrange me according to His purposes. For the Lord had already arranged the time when His Son was going to come into the world. It says in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. So here is Anna, and she could say to God, why did you not send your Son earlier in my life? But God in the fullness of time, and God's fullness of time is always the right time. If you send a letter and say, He whom thou lovest is sick, you want Him to come now. And the Lord Jesus waits 4 days before He comes, then the fourth day is the time that God's Son should come. And if you supplicate God for a blessing in your life, and you say, this is the time it should come, but God in His wisdom and grace waits 4 days or 105 years before He brings it into your life, that is the time the thing should come into your life. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So here is a woman that embarrasses us all because of the exemplary life that she lives before all in Israel. Now, what is so remarkable about this woman is the way that she was privileged to see the Christ child. God works in different ways in the lives of different people, and unless God were omniscient, at times there would never be things He could do for us because of your inconsistencies. He never knows what you're going to do. He can put no dependence on you. Here today, gone tomorrow. Yes, now, but not in the future. Is that a description of you? Now, think of Simeon. Here is Simeon, whom we take to be an old man as well, and God, by the Holy Spirit, had told him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Having been told that by God through the Spirit, it says he was guided by the Spirit that very day when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the temple. We say, yes, the Spirit of God telling me what's going to come and then guiding me and telling me where to go and when to be there. That's the way that God brings things into your life. It isn't necessary at all. Think of Anna, who received the identical blessing of Simeon, and it does not say that the Spirit had told her anything. It does not say that she had been guided by the Spirit in a special way. But God did not have to tell her by the Spirit. You say, why? Listen. Listen to the description of her life. It was this. It said, she continued day and night in the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications. So her whole life was built around the house of God and the services of God. And she never missed a service. Now, God did not have to tell her anything. Why? If an angel said, Lord, don't you think that you better notify Anna that Jesus is going to be in the temple on the 40th day? God would say to the angel, not in the least. Because I know the life of Anna, and she will be present at the season in the temple when my son is brought there. Now, that is a glorious thing. I wonder if God would say that about you.
What do you mean?
Tell me, if I'm in town on Wednesday night and someone wanted to meet me, could you tell that person, go to the gospel chapel at 7:30 and John Mills will be there? You say, well, wouldn't I have to phone you? Would you have to do it? You say, no. John Mills would be there. Why, of course, by God's grace and by God's power. Others, you would say, I don't know. May be there, may not. In the case of Simeon, even though I take it he was a faithful man, God, in his goodness, had said, Simeon, you have been so faithful, I'm going to tell you beforehand something that's going to happen. My son is going to come in your lifetime. And before you die, you're going to see him. And I'm going to guide you in the spirit to the place where my son is so that you and he will be there at the same time. That's beautiful. But in the case of Anna, God did not have to tell her anything. God said, my son is going to be in the temple at this hour. And Anna as for 84 years has been in that temple, that very hour. For 84 years, she will be there when my son is there. And sure enough, Anna came at that very hour, and here is the Lord Jesus. Now, if we had lives like that, so dependable, but it speaks about some that are unstable as water, why, you can't depend on them in the least. But there is such a thing as consistency and stability and dependability, and this is what God wants. He wants people that he can depend on. And that is why this woman puts us all to shame. So think now, think of this woman and her life, and think of your life. I called her Anna, the thankful prophetess. How could she be thankful? Think now. Suppose when you were in your teens, before you had had a chance to go out into the world and see life, before you had had a chance of a romance, why, you were given to a man and you were married. And then the man brought joy to your heart. You enjoyed life as a wife. As a virgin, you enjoyed life 15 years. As a wife, you enjoyed life 7 years. And then God touches your husband, and he's taken away, and he leaves you a widow 84 years. Now, what kind of life is that? In my teens, before I lived life, I know anything about life, I married. I married 7 years, and then I'm a widow for 84 years. I see. So, a life as a virgin for 15 years, a life as a wife for 7 years, and a life as a widow for 84 years. Does that sound like much of a life to you? It's the most glorious kind of life, because one word can be printed upon the life of Anna, and that is satisfaction. You do not realize that all of the things that we have to embrace to give us any joy in life are not really essential to give us that joy if we have the heart and if we have the thought and the desire of a woman like Hannah. And I may say Hannah because Hannah in the Old Testament is Anna in the New Testament. It's the same word, and she is a beautiful woman, and there are some words in families that are embarrassing. Suppose you were Jacob, and it means you were a supplanter. You were one trying to trip up other people. You say, that's not a good name. Suppose in your family, the name Nabal was part of it, a fool. That's not good. But concerning Anna, everything that is mentioned about her is beautiful. Do you realize that she's from the tribe of Asher, and that word means happy? Her father's name was Phanuel, which means the face of God, and her name is Anna, which means grace or favor. Beautiful words describing her life and her family and her heart. That of happiness, that of grace, that of the face of God. That is her life. And yet, considering her life, and considering the life that you want, and what you expect out of life, at the end of your life, if you live to be over 100 and someone said, tell me about your life, you would be just like Jacob. Do you realize what Jacob said to Pharaoh when Joseph brought his father and all his relatives down into Egypt? And old Jacob is brought into Pharaoh, and Jacob is over 100 years of age. And Pharaoh looks at him and he says, how old are you? And Jacob says, few and evil have been the days of thy servant. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? For you to be taken before the greatest monarch in the world, and he says, tell me about your life. You say, my life has been one of misery, just a few days, then one of sorrows. That has been my life. Now, go into the presence of Anna and say, Anna, tell me about your life. She would say, many have been my days, and joyful have been my days. My life has been one of fulfillment and of satisfaction. You say, how can that be? I thought so often of this little meeting in Goldsboro and how you should constantly praise God every day for what you have here, and that you are devoid and that you are separated and detached from everything else. Think now as to what Anna had. She had, first of all, the privilege of being born of one of the tribes that had been chosen by God as his peculiar people. She had been brought up in a godly family, and the Lord had privileged her to be married for a while. And then, in her sorrow, she had everything that anyone needs. You realize that when Abraham in Genesis chapter 14 went out and fought the kings and won the battle, there was great spoil. And the king of Sodom said, now, let's divide the spoil. Abraham said, I don't want a shoe latchet. I want absolutely nothing. Everything could have been his material. He said, I want nothing. And in the next chapter it says, God came to Abram and he said unto him, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Do you realize that? And I recall the humorous statement that was made by this preacher, and he had reversals, and he was finally reduced to this point when he looked at his friend and he said, everything is gone. He said, the only thing I have left is God. Do you see? And so everything is gone from Anna, and the only thing she has left is God. But suppose God were taken away from Anna and she had everything else. That is when to beat upon your breast and say, oh God, woe is me. I have nothing. Because he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can have everything. If you do not have the Son, you have nothing. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have nothing, but you have everything. But you have to have the mind of Christ before you think that way. And if you have the mind of Christ, you have satisfaction. I want you to see how the thoughts of Christ are the thoughts of Anna. This is what it says in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, there was a mind in the Savior. It was a mind of self-abnegation. He made himself of no reputation. He was the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. Do you realize that this life of the Savior could be one for which he could criticize God and bring into question what thought, what wisdom, what care God had for his life. Here is the insignificant town of Nazareth. And when it's mentioned, the disciple indeed, the Israelite indeed, Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And God said to his son, "I want you to be made of no reputation, and I want you to live for some 30 years in Nazareth." And the Lord Jesus said, "Yes, Father. I want you to go, and I want you to be a prophet in Israel without any formal theological education." "Yes, Lord. And I want your life to be cut off a little over 33 years. "Yes, Lord." Now think on that. This is what it says in Psalm 16. It's the psalm of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But considering his life, this is what it says. The Savior says, "The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." And an old man asked me once, he was over 80. He had heard that many times and he never knew what it meant. He said, "Tell me, what does it mean, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places?" I said, "Well, when the land of Israel was distributed to the tribes, they had lines to measure out just what was theirs." He said, "I see." And so when it says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places," it means that God marks out for this man this portion of life, and for this woman this portion in life, and he has marked out for you a certain portion in life. And so the Lord Jesus looks at his life at the end of 33 years, and he says, "The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly inheritance." And you would criticize God and say, "What kind of life is this you have given me to lead?" And yet, the mind of Christ was not that way. And the mind of Anna was not that way. And the mind of Joseph was not that way. When Joseph had been cast into prison, stayed there 2 years, and finally was exalted to the throne, his brothers came and were telling him lies, but he said, "You do not have to worry about what you did to me. You meant it to me for ill, but God meant it to me for good." And so that's the kind of thinking that we are to have. Instead of looking up at God and saying, "Why did you withhold this from me? Why did you give me this poor life to live? Why this?" The Lord Jesus said, "Father, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." And Anna would say, "Lord, you have given me the best of life." Now, I want you to understand why a woman can live as 84 years as a widow, and her heart can have fulfillment, and her life is one of satisfaction. May I ask you, where was the temple of God? We say it was in Jerusalem. And do you realize that the Lord Jesus said that God was in that temple? You say, in Matthew 23, it says that, "Him who dwells therein." So God was in that temple. Do you realize that God ordained certain seasons and festivals that the Israelites were to join in the fellowship? That God had that temple, and he was there, and he invited his people to come to that temple? And that, as our Savior, so God says, men are always to pray and not to faint. You say, yes. And God is seeking worshipers. You say, yes. And so what did this woman have? She had everything. Suppose she had been among the 10 tribes that were scattered and had not been like the other tribes that came back under Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak at the first, and then Ezra and Nehemiah, the tribes that came back. But even though she is of the tribe of Asher, she is with the tribe of Judah and the others that came back. And so instead of being scattered away in Babylon, like we read about Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon. That's the window to his dwelling place. The windows were open, looking toward Jerusalem, where his heart was. And this woman, as a widow, was privileged to live in Jerusalem, and she had access to the temple of God, where God dwelt every day of her life, and she never missed one day. If we could only set our heart and our affections on the things that count. This is what it says in Colossians. Set your affection on things above where Christ is. And this woman's heart was set on things above. They were on earth, but they were things above, spiritual things. Why? Because I'm thinking, as a young girl, Paul describes in 1 Timothy 5 what happens to most young widows. It says some of them had made great resolutions. Now, as a widow woman, my husband is gone, I have no children, and so I'm going to dedicate my life to serving God, to worshiping God, to being in God's house, to fellowshipping with the people of God. But it says in 1 Timothy 5 that the younger widows have rejected their first pledge. What? Oh, we've made resolutions. Now that I'm free, I can give my life to God. The Apostle Paul says they reject that pledge and they learn to be idle. They go about. They are tattlers. He said the best thing for them is to get married again. Now, concerning Anna, no such thought ever entered her heart. She said, this is my lot in life. I'm taking it from God, and God wants it this way. And I'm not going to resign myself to it, but I'm going to enjoy it to the full, because it's the richest thing that God could do for me. And so often we fail to understand it, as the Apostle Paul, when that thorn in the flesh was not going to be taken away from him, and God said, my grace is enough for you. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I powerful. Do you see how some people have the mind of Christ, and instead of criticizing the lines that have fallen unto them in pleasant places, they say, I have a miserable life. And they are like Naomi. Naomi, which is a pleasant name, said, when sorrow came into her life, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. Call me bitter. Now, this is what Anna could say. Do not call me Anna, favor. The favor of God, it's the disfavor of God. But her name, Anna, characterized her. The favor of God, and she was a thankful prophetess of God. Now listen to this. It said, she departed not from the temple. Do you realize that the teaching and testimony of Psalm 84 is this? How lovely are thy dwellings, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And you have to drag some of the people of God out to services. And then, if they happen to go over a little, when will it ever end? Understand, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. That is a heart that is set on things above. And instead of saying, it is my duty to go and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, it's not something that is a duty. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. It is something to look forward to every week. And that is why Anna's life was one of joy and fulfillment and satisfaction. Why? Because my heart longeth, yea, fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. And understand, she was not alone. Simeon was one of her kind. Simeon and Anna and Zacharias and Elizabeth and all of them were old people. But it said, They were looking for the consolation of Israel. They were looking for the redemption of the people of God. And so their hearts were filled with hope. And until that desire and that hope was realized, they spent their time in the house of God with the people of God at the services of God. And do you think that God is going to fail to reward someone like that? Suppose the Lord rewarded you with spiritual blessings according to your faithfulness. Or you would be spiritual paupers. That what God does in His grace is to do for some what He did for Anna and what He did for Simeon. Here are the shepherds. They were out in the fields. They weren't in the temple worshiping God. But God in His grace, why did He choose those? We are told nothing other than their faithfulness. They kept watch over their flock by night. They were faithful shepherds. And God said, look, I have a special announcement for you. And so God has special things that He's going to do for special people. And some people enjoy those things, and some people enter into those things. And some people go through life, and at the end of their life, they'll look back and say, few and evil have been the days of my life. And they will say, as that friend said to me when I came to comfort him and strengthen him, well, you finally came. Do you not understand that God's time is the best time? And when you read, there is a time to be born and a time to die, do you not realize that if you leave it in God's hands, then when you are born and when you die, that is the best thing? You say, to leave it in God's hands? Why, yes. There are some who say, no, when God says it's time for you to die. Hezekiah did such a thing and brought forth that monster, Manasseh. But he said, I want to live. And so some of us want to live when God says it's time for you to die. And the sad thing is that sometimes God will listen. And there are others who look at their life as one of drudgery, one of resignation, one of evil. And there are those like Anna and the Lord Jesus who say, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. I am glad I have a goodly heritage. And so Anna is the thankful prophetess. She is the one after whom we should pattern our lives. So think now. Teens, that's the only time you live when you're on your own, and then you're married in your teens, and then for 7 years you are a married woman, and then for 84 years you are a widow woman. And after that, what? At the end of Anna's life, she would lift her eyes to heaven and say, I thank you, God, for a rich and a fulfilled life. I thank you, God, that you privileged me to see your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us pattern our lives after Anna's life, the prophetess of thankfulness. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, with shame, we confess our complaint. We think of ourselves, and we think of the children of Israel, murmuring constantly in the wilderness, forgetting that they had been slaves in Egypt, and now they were free, and they were going to the promised land, and they had the promises of God to preserve them, and yet murmuring and complaining. Father, forgive us. Let us not be like the children of Israel, but let us be like thy Son. Let us be like Anna. And Father, for the things that you send into our lives, let us be thankful and let us give thanks. And so let people look upon us and say, there must be something to the Lord Jesus, because this person's life is filled with joy, fulfillment, and satisfaction, whereas mine is empty. Let us examine our hearts and let us seek to be like Anna, the thankful prophetess. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.